Outdoor Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Matawar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
The passage of Scripture I'd like to begin with this morning is not my text, but it will serve as an introduction to my text. I'm reading from John chapter 8, beginning in verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. The Jews accused the Lord Jesus Christ of being demon-possessed. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. We know you're crazy if you said something like that. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Obviously, they had no idea of who they were speaking with. This is the Ancient of Days, the eternal Son of God they're speaking to. And they say, Are you greater than Abraham, our father, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God, yet you have not known him. But I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. Now, Abraham had been dead some 1,200 years. Yet the Lord says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He rejoiced in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw it. He saw it. And he was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am that I am, the same one who spoke to Moses in the bush. I am that I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now the Lord says, Abraham, rejoice to see my day. And he saw it, and he was glad. Now, what was it that Abraham saw when he rejoiced to see the day of Christ and was glad? Well, there are perhaps many things that we could say about that, but I think that I know that the chief meaning of this is when Abraham rejoiced to see a substitute for Isaac. Now, I'd like to go to Genesis 22. This is our text, Genesis chapter 22. This is what Abraham rejoiced to see. Now, we read in verse 1 of Genesis 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham. Abraham, God said, Abraham, do you know every time Abraham heard his name audibly, it was preceding some great trial. And I imagine Abraham winced when he heard the Lord say his name, but he said, Behold, here am I. Now look what God says, verse 2. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son. Now Ishmael was born at this time. He was 14 years older than Isaac. But Ishmael represents the law, and the law can never produce a child of God. Works, the works of the law can never produce a child of God. So Ishmael is not acknowledged as a son. Isaac is the son. In Isaac shall thy seed be. Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Now, we know from the account of Chronicles that Moriah is the place where Jerusalem would one day be built. Mount Moriah was in Jerusalem. Get thee to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now, you consider what the Lord called upon Abraham to do. Take your son, your only son, the son you love, and I want you to take him to a mountain. I want you to slay him as a sacrifice to me and burn his body. What must have gone through Abraham's mind and heart when God made that command to him? Now, which of us, when we've read that passage of Scripture or thought about that passage of Scripture, have not thought, would I be able to have that kind of obedience, where I would be willing to offer up my child in obedience to God's command? Now, if that's where we're stuck, we really haven't understood this passage. So I hope we'll understand by the end of this passage what we really ought to be concerned about and what we really ought to be asking. But the Lord commanded him, you take your son, your only son whom you love, and you offer him up as a burnt offering to me on the mountain that I'll tell you of. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't delay his obedience. He rose up early in the morning. I feel relatively sure that he didn't tell Sarah about what he was going to do. You can bet there would have been an argument there of some kind. But he rose up early in the morning in obedience to what God had called upon him to do. Now, previously, God told Abraham, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Through Isaac, the Messiah will come. Through Isaac, the Savior will come. The promised seed that would bruise the serpent's head. Through Isaac, your seed will come. Abraham heard that and he believed it. And Abraham knew that even if he did kill his son, God would raise him from the dead because the seed was going to come through Isaac. God cannot lie. And Abraham knew that. So he rises up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering. He didn't leave anything out. He had the wood and he rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. He obeyed what God told him to do. Then on the third day, verse 4, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Who can know what emotions Abraham must have felt during that entire three-day journey, knowing he was going to kill his son? How painful that must have been. Perhaps he was confused. He didn't know why he was being called upon to do it. But he knew God said to do it, and he, by the grace of God, was going to obey God whatever God told him to do. So here he is, and he finally comes to that mountain. And you can bet that he ripped his guts out when he saw it and knew what he was getting ready to do. Verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Now, this is the first time the word worship is used in the Scripture. And if you want to understand what true worship, the worship of God actually is, we'll see in this passage of Scripture. Now, notice he says to these two young men who had gone with him, he knew he was going to kill Isaac. That's what God had called him to do, and offer him up for a burnt offering. But he says to these two young men, you stay here and wait. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we'll both come back to you. Now, was he saying this because he didn't want them to know what his intentions were, because he was afraid they might try to stop him if they knew that he was going to kill Isaac. No. Hebrews 11 tells us exactly what this passage of Scripture means. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. Abraham knew that God would raise him from the dead. Now, what if God commanded Abraham, offer up your son, and Abraham would say, I can't do that, because then God's promise would fall to the ground. It wouldn't take place, because he said, in Isaac shall the seed be called, so I need to not do that, or the Messiah won't come. All he would prove by that is that he didn't believe God. Abraham believed God. And when God said the promised Messiah will come through Isaac, he believed God. And he believed that even if he killed him, God would raise him from the dead, because God's not going to go back on his word. This is the works that prove the reality of faith. This is what proved Abraham really did believe the naked word of God. He was willing to kill his son, knowing that God would raise him from the dead in order to make his word come to pass. Now, wait. I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we will come again to you. True worship is connected with substitution, as we shall see. Now let's go on reading. Verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Do you remember another time that someone, the son, carried wood that was to be used for his own execution up a mountain? Oh, what a glorious type Isaac is of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he carries the wood up the mountain that was to be used for his own execution. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father. Now evidently, Abraham had not told Isaac of his intentions up to this point. And so Isaac is asking this question. Isaac has seen many lambs sacrificed. He knew God could only be approached through sacrifice. He knew God could only be approached through a blood atonement. He believed the same thing Abel did. Abel knew the only way God could be approached is through a blood atonement. Isaac knew that. He understood that. So he says to his father, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. We have what's needed for a burnt sacrifice, for a sin sacrifice. Behold, here we have the fire, here we have the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now, this is the critical question. Where is the lamb? You know, when I'm hearing somebody preach, here's the question I'm asking. Where is the lamb? Now, you need the wood for the heat, the fire, the combustion. You need the wood. It's important. Not taking away from the importance of it. But what is the wood? What is the fire without the lamb? It's nothing. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now, here's the question. I hope you'll ask this question. I hope I'm asking this question. Where's the lamb? God can't be approached apart from a blood sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Where is the lamb? I can tell you where he was before time began. Revelation 13:8 says he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You know, when Adam fell, God slew a lamb and provided him a covering to typify what would take place. When John the Baptist announced his coming, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He knew this is God's Lamb. Where is the Lamb? Now that's the question we should always ask. This is my only hope of being saved, is that the Lamb of God takes my place. If He suffers and dies in my room instead, this is my only true motivation for obedience. What the Lamb has done for me. Where is the Lamb for a burnt offering? Where's the Lamb right now? I know where He is right now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. The Lamb, having been slain from the foundation of the world, is seated at the right hand of the Father. And when, understand this, when John in the book of Revelation is speaking of the Lamb and talking about the Lamb of God, don't picture in your mind a lamb with wool. What that's a reference to is the Lord Jesus Christ in a glorified body with the scars of His death still upon Him. That is how a believer will understand, I'm here only because of Him. When I'm in heaven, I'll have no sin. I won't even remember what sin's like. But I'll know the only reason I'm there when I behold the scars of the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb seated in glory. Now, look how Abraham answers his son. And Abraham said, my son, in answer to that question, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. What an answer. God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. You see, God provides the lamb. There's nothing that you or I could give to God or do for God that God could accept. You see, we're sinful. I can't come into God's presence and expect Him to receive me. He's holy. I'm sinful. Listen, if you've got a God that can accept anything you do, you've got the wrong God. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not a holy God. If He can accept anything you do without the Lamb, you've got the wrong God. But thank God, God is the one who provides the Lamb. All that God requires of me, He provides for me. God will provide the Lamb. And God provides the Lamb for Himself. You see, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is shed, first of all, for God. For God to do something for me or you, He first had to do something for Himself. You see, He's holy. He's just. Sin must be punished. I'm a sinner. God can't accept me the way I am. I'm a sinner. Now, for God to accept me, His justice is going to have to be satisfied. His law is going to have to be honored. It's not going to be changed. The Lord said, think not that I came to take away the law, do away with the law. I came not to do away with, to destroy, but to fulfill. God provided this lamb for Himself. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's tree, God provided all that He needed for Himself. And now He can save me. He can save a sinner. Embrace that sinner. Forgive that sinner. Love that sinner. Because what he needed has been provided for in the Lamb. You know, when the Lord passed through Egypt in Exodus chapter 12, He said, when I see the blood. He didn't say when you see it. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. One thing God was looking for. He didn't say when I see your faith. He didn't say when I see your good works. He didn't say when you see the blood. He said, when I see the blood. Oh, He's talking about the blood of His Son. I'll be satisfied. And I will pass over you. God provides for Himself this lamb for the burnt offering. And God provides Himself as the Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb that God provided. God Himself is the Lamb. The Lamb of God is God the Lamb. God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Aren't you thankful for that? God provided Himself as the lamb for the burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and they came to the place which God told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. Now, he'd built an altar before. He'd built many altars before to call upon the name of the Lord. He'd sacrificed many lambs before. But I bet he felt much different building this altar, as he knew he was getting ready to sacrifice his only son. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, according to the divine prescription, how God said to do it, and he bound Isaac, his son. He tied him up, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, what about Isaac here? Isaac was a young man. Abraham was very old. Isaac had sufficient strength to overcome his dad. He didn't have to do this. But I think what took place is Abraham explained to him, God told me to kill you. We've got to obey God. But God has already promised that the Messiah is going to come through you, through your descendants. So obviously, God will raise you from the dead. So Isaac allowed himself to be bound. And in this, Isaac is a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ laid down his life willingly. He wasn't a victim. He had control over everything. But he laid down his life willingly. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to raise it up. This commandment have I received of my Father. So Abraham has Isaac bound, laying on the altar. And verse 10 says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Can you imagine the pain and the anguish he must have been going through? Even if he knew God was going to raise his boy from the dead, can you imagine the pain and anguish of holding up the knife to slay his son? And it was already done in his heart. He'd already determined, this is what I'm going to do. There wasn't any hesitation. The hand was risen to slay his son, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the angel of the Lord, God's angel, the angel of the covenant, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Don't you do this. Neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Now, verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. His head was in a briar bush, caught. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it's said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, or the Lord will provide. In answer to what he said to his son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now, here we have the gospel. Isaac is given a substitute. And the only reason the knife of God's justice will not slay me is it slew my substitute. The Lord Jesus Christ is that lamb caught in the thicket by his horns, which represents his crown of thorns that was pressed upon his head. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the substitute. Now, did the Lord know how Abraham would respond before this trial? Of course he did. But he is giving us a glorious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And unlike this type where Abraham lifted up the knife, but he didn't slay, God the Father lifted up the knife of his justice and he slew his son. God killed his son. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, to crush him, to put him to grief. Why? Because the sins of God's elect were placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He became guilty of those sins, and the justice and law of God put him to death. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Now, the Lord never sinned in Himself. He's the innocent, spotless Lamb of God without blemish. But the sins of His people became His sin, and God slew Him and punished Him in our stead, in the stead of all those who believe. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. That's what faith is. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Salvation isn't by doing, but it's by looking. It's looking upon the Lamb of God and what He actually did. And behold, behind Him, a ram caught in the thickets. Not in front of Him, behind Him. You see, the ground and cause of salvation is behind. It's already been done. That's why there's nothing to do. It's already been done. When the Lamb of God said, "It is finished," the salvation of God's people completely finished. He saw this ram caught in a thicket by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead, in the place, in the room of his son. And the only way a sinner will be saved is by Christ being slain in their place. You see, everybody that Christ died for must be saved. Now, can you imagine how Abraham felt as he walked down that mountain? He rejoiced. You see, he didn't withhold his only son in obedience to God's command. Now, somebody says, what obedience? Yes, that is great obedience. But what this typifies more than anything else is the fact that when you believe, when I believe, we don't withhold our complete trust. We trust Him only. We don't trust Him and something else. We trust Him only as everything in our salvation. We trust Him only. And you can bet that Abraham, as he walked down that mountain, he rejoiced. He was so happy. He was so thankful for the substitute. And I am too. I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ came and took my place. And my dear friends, He didn't offer me salvation. He saved me. You see, His death was not an offer. It was a satisfaction to God. When He died, He satisfied God and He provided all that God requires. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, our Lord says. And he saw it and he was glad. You know who else was glad? Isaac was glad. Oh, he was so happy about this substitute. Now, we have this message on CD and DVD. If you call the church, email right. We'll send you a copy. This is Todd Diver praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.